Joshua chapter 1. Our verses today are 6 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. God's word says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these marvelous promises that you will be with us wherever we go. More and more we see your covenant promises in your word, and we give thanks. Bless us with understanding now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a passage about meditation. Not warfare, not preparation for warfare, not preparation for building bridges to get across the Jordan River. It's a passage about meditation. Now, these days when we hear the term meditation, we tend to think of yoga or Tai Chi or some bearded guy sitting on a mountain with his legs crossed and maybe behind his neck or something and emptying himself. Or somebody in maybe orange robes, sitting peacefully with his shaved head, and again emptying himself so that peace and tranquility can enter in to his empty mind. For others, it's about relaxation. I meditate so that I can relax, so that I can deal with the 90 hours that I'm going to work this week. All of that is a false understanding of meditation. Meditation is not about emptying your mind. It's about filling it. Meditation is not about going somewhere away and having no thoughts. It's about having thoughts that focus on one specific thing. And for Christians, that specific thing, that focus of meditation is God's Word. Joshua and all the people of Israel are to have a special relationship to God's Word, no matter what our circumstances. Three times in this one relatively short paragraph, Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. In one place, he's told to be strong and very courageous. Now, it stands to reason that Joshua and all Israel needed to be strong and courageous. We looked last week at all the reasons that they needed all the strength and courage. And next week, we'll spend time looking at this call to courage. But this week, our focus is the basis for all that courage. What reasons did Joshua have for being brave in the face of the overwhelming odds in front of him? God even told him, the people that you're going in to fight and conquer are bigger than you and stronger than you. Oh, and by the way, they outnumber you as well. Yet Joshua is told to be strong, to be brave, to be courageous. Notice where we are. Notice the context in which we find ourselves. Moses is dead. Joshua is now in charge. Israel has not yet crossed the Jordan. They haven't engaged one enemy yet. So what's the most important message as they stand there in the valley of the Jordan getting ready for this? What's the most important thing that God wants to get across to Joshua? Meditate on my word. So let's take a look at God's word in the context that we have here. First thing is, Joshua was to accept Moses' words as God's law. General Douglas MacArthur, great military man, great general in his own right, once listed Joshua as one of the great generals of all time. To what did Joshua owe this great reputation and all his success and fame as a general and his leadership of the people Israel as well? Where'd all that come from? Well, he was certainly a skilled warrior. He was Moses' military leader for 40 years. One tends to pick up a little skill in that amount of time as a leader who rises in the ranks and hasn't yet been killed. He was honest and he was courageous. Joshua, along with Caleb, stood up to all of Israel when it was rebelling. Joshua and Caleb came back from the spy tour that they'd been sent on, and they gave the minority report. Trust God, and we can defeat these people and live in that land of milk and honey. All the other spies were saying, no, no, they're going to kill us. And Israel believed them, and Joshua and Caleb stood up. But all this bravery, all this courage, all this experience, they were not the key in Joshua's success. Read verse 7 with me. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. The key to Joshua's success was his relationship to God through his word. So let's take a look at that. First, the Pentateuch was a living document. What's the Pentateuch? Fancy word. It means five volumes. Sometimes we buy books that come in, they're just too many pages to be in one volume. I have a two-volume set of American history that was lent to me by Warren that's sitting on my desk that I read on occasion. But there are just too many pages. They're thick books as it is, but it had to come in two volumes. Moses' law that he wrote down that God gave to him came in five volumes, and we call it the Pentateuch. Well, Joshua had walked beside the writer of the Pentateuch, these first five books of the Bible, for 40 years. He knew Moses. He knew his strengths. He knew his weaknesses. Joshua knew that Moses was a sinner. Yet he also knew that the words Moses had spoken and that had been written down were actually the word of God. Moses was an amanuensis. He was a scribe writing down what God gave him to write down. Joshua didn't have to wait for some council of the church to declare that the Pentateuch was God's word. He knew. So the first thing we see is that the Pentateuch was a living document. Second thing is the Pentateuch was and is God's law. Again, going to verse 7 and continuing to verse 8, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do whatever, to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." God says that these words were written down by Moses to be meditated upon and obeyed. What has God told us to meditate upon and obey? You know, what kind of documents does He send us? Did He send us the manual for our gas grill and say, "Meditate upon this and obey it"? Well, of course, if you put it together wrong and it blows up on you, perhaps you should have read it. But God doesn't give us things like that and say, "Okay, meditate on that." What does He tell us to meditate on? Let's look at just a few verses in Psalm 119. There are verses all over God's Word that teach us this, but these are concentrated in one place. Psalm 119, verse 15. "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." Verse 99. "I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." Verse 148, still in Psalm 119. "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." His word, His law, His precepts, His promises. Where do we find them? We find them in Scripture. We find them in God's Word. Where did Joshua find them? He found them in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. We're to meditate upon it and be obedient to it. We're taught in God's Word to obey parents, to obey the government, to obey our leaders. But the most important obedience is to God's Word. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, we see this. 1 John 5, 3. "This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome." This is love for God, to obey His commands. So, I'd like to now explore the concepts of meditation and obedience just a little bit further. Meditation and obedience brings us to our second point. Joshua was to meditate on God's law. Meditate upon it. How can you meditate upon something, have something as your focal point, and still be emptying your mind at the same time? It can't be done. You empty your mind, you leave it a vacuum. What happens with a vacuum? It gets filled. And if your mind is empty and gets filled, we can be relatively sure that it's not going to be filled with something good. So why empty it? Why not fill it? Meditate on God's law. Verse 8 again. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And again, that promise. So that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Note here that the Pentateuch is already being referred to as a book. This was not just a command to Joshua to fondly recall the great words of your master and teacher Moses. There was a book involved, a physical document to which Joshua could refer and return. But Joshua was a military man. Why would he have need of regularly reading all the scripture that existed? Well, I'm glad you asked. First answer is, in order to know it. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to know something, you read it, you study it, you take a look at it, you walk around it, you look at it from different angles. Although there are a lot of people, and you probably know some of them, who claim to know the Bible, but have never read it. Most of these folk claim that they know the Bible so that they can tell you how wrong the Bible is. It's like people who tell you how bad a movie is, but they never saw it. How terrible a book is, but they never read it. And these people want to tell you God's word is false, made up, fiction, or they want to tell you that the God in that book is unreal, but they won't engage you or him or that book in order to get any real information about it. Joshua is told to obey the law. He's told not to turn away from it, neither to the left nor to the right. Don't get so wacky liberal on the left. Don't become a fundamentalist legalist on the right. Read my word. Make an effort to understand my word. And then he's told to do everything written in it. He was supposed to live by it. This is somewhat difficult to do if one hasn't read the book. If one doesn't know what it says. Joshua was to be a man of the book. And oh, by the way, so are we. Psalm 119, again, verse 11 this time. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. If we are to hold God in proper reverence, if we are to be his, we need to work on our sin issues, don't we? We need to clean up our act. The two aids that we have been given, in particular, to help us with this cleanup work: God's Word and prayer. Now, we have other aids as well. We have God's people. But God's Word and prayer are keys to us cleaning up our own lives, to leading obedient lives, reverent lives. We need to know God's word. It's instructional. It's devotional. It's beautiful. It's theological. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to meditate on God's Word so that we can know it. Secondly, we need to meditate on God's Word in order to talk about it. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. It needs to be in your mouth. Why? So that we can share God's Word. It's close to where it can come out. Joshua was to be talking about God and His Word in his daily interactions with the people. This was to be the norm for the followers of God. It is still to be the norm for followers of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, where Henry read to us a little while ago, says this in verse 15. 1 Peter 3, 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Well, who's going to ask you? Those people who notice how you're living, how you're being obedient to the Word. Because if you are living an obedient life, a reverent life, a respectful life, a God-like life, a Christ-honoring life, if you're doing those things, you're strange. You're odd. You're different. You'll stand out. And people will want to ask you, what's up with you? Why are you so weird? How come you didn't cheat? Everybody else did. How come you didn't stay with us and get wasted? Everybody else did. How come you tell the truth on your tax forms? Nobody else does. How come you don't cheat on your wife, your husband? Oh, we all do a little of that. Then it's time to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. It should be in your mouth. We have more opportunities than we usually recognize. Being prepared, of course, goes back to knowing God's Word. But we need to do more than know it. We need to share it, both in the way that we live and in the way that we talk. His name should be on our tongues. Well, yeah, the society in which we live tries to stifle that. It's true. You can't talk about Christ or Christianity at work or at school. You can't wear a t-shirt with a cross on it. You'll be sent home. Although other religions, well, they're allowed. But even if you're in a social setting, you go to a party, you go to a picnic, you go to a ball game, you start to name the name of Christ, and people say, oh, it's not polite to talk about religion or politics. Well, friends, it's also not polite to let your friends go to hell. It's not polite for them to never hear from you that you believe in Jesus Christ, and that's why you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, you're going to heaven for all eternity. They need to hear that. It needs to be in our mouth. God told Joshua, look, you got all this fighting to do, you got all this preparing to do, and you're the leader, and get ready. Get on your knees and pray and read my Word, day and night, meditate upon it. Don't let your friends go through life not hearing the truth, which is God's Word. So Joshua was to meditate on God's Word. And Joshua was to act on God's law. He was to act on it. He was to do something about it. Again, Verses 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Actions speak louder than words. It's true. In fact, Jesus taught this very concept, didn't he? He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He also said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He was talking about our actions. He was talking about our lifestyles. He said, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. Two things I want to note about this. First, faith without works is dead. We read that in James 2, verse 26. James 2, 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Well, we all know that one by its King James, faith without works is dead. For some reason, this verse is widely and grossly misunderstood. People try to tell us that what this really means is you have to have works to get faith. Well, if we read it in its context, its simplicity comes through. We see that James was teaching just what Jesus was teaching. And that is that if people have faith, others will be able to tell it by the way that they act. The tree will be known by its fruit. But first comes the tree. First comes the faith. You can't have works of faith if you don't have faith. Christianity is about acting on our principles. Principles we have gained from meditating on God's Word. Principles we will understand if the Holy Spirit is within us. A Holy Spirit who will be in us if we have faith, which has been granted by God Almighty. Faith without works is indeed dead, because if you have no works, what you're showing is you have no tree. You have no faith. Don't get caught in that. Don't be shown to have no works. Joshua was to act on God's law, and so are we. Faith without works is dead. And obedience is our job. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Read it so that you can be obedient to it. That's what that says. Read it so that you know it, so that you can act on it. It's pretty simple. Well, if it's that simple, why do so many people who claim to be Christians have an inch of dust on their Bibles? Why is their Bible a coffee table book? You know coffee table books. They're usually books with lots of pictures in them, and they sit on the coffee table. Nobody ever looks at them. Nobody ever opens them. Once every 6 months, they might get dusted. Well, there are people who claim to be Christians whose Bibles are just like that, or they sit on a shelf, prominent place in the house. And they always know where to find it because it's always in the same place because it never gets moved. It doesn't get taken out to get read. Nobody is meditating upon it. Why is there such biblical illiteracy among the congregations of God's people? You'd expect it among the pagans. But in the church, people are biblically illiterate. Folks, our job is to be obedient to God's word. The men who wrote the Westminster Confession and Catechisms knew this. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 3, asks, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The answer is, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to know about God and the duty God requires of man. What we are to know about Him and what our duties are because we know. How can we know? By faith. We're not just talking about people who have looked at it or have read the Cliff Notes version or have even read the whole thing without faith. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about knowing about it because we read it, because we meditate upon it, because we believe it. But you might want to ask, what about that prosperous part? It's in there a couple of times, isn't it? Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We don't want to skip that part, do we? What does that mean? Well, in first reading, a lot of people would look at it and want to believe that it's saying, meditate on my word and you're going to get rich. Is that what it means? Maybe. For some. That's not the point. Although some people might get rich, that may be part of the prosperous and successful thing. But God's not promising that everyone who's a Christian is going to be wealthy, is going to be successful, all their children are going to be good looking. Now what God means is that Joshua, to whom he was speaking directly, would be successful in the tasks he was taking on in the name of the Lord. What he meant there, and what he means in other places when he tells us the same sorts of things about an abundant life, is that you follow me and you'll have what I know that you need. You will never be without what I, the Lord, know that you need. And when you get to heaven, well, in a sense, the sky's the limit. Of course, there won't be any sky. There won't be any limit. There won't be any time limit. We'll be there with God's people and God's people alone in God's presence. Meditate on that. Meditate on these things and encourage one another all the more as you see the day coming. Don't empty your mind. You don't have to twist yourself up like a pretzel and say, Om. Get comfortable. Lie on the couch, on the floor. Sit in your favorite chair. Have a cup of coffee. But read God's word. Meditate on that. God says, meditate on my word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word, and we thank you that it is understandable enough for us that we can meditate on it. We thank you that it has been so faithfully translated by great people of God throughout the ages, and that we can meditate on it in our own language, not have to learn some arcane language. We thank you that the gospel within it is simple, understandable, reachable. And we thank you for Jesus, who did the work that makes salvation possible. God, help us to be strong and very courageous as we face the world that we live in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.